Hi and welcome. This podcast, Life Success Pod with Matt and Nat, was created with the intention to help you create holistic success in every important area of your life. I'm your co-host, Nat, and I'm truly excited to be co-hosting this podcast with my amazing husband, father of our children, and business partner, Matt. With over two decades of experience in mindset, personal development, and the health and wellness industry, both of us have also been personally trained and mentored by the late and legendary Bob Proctor. Having practiced as a naturopath in clinic for almost a decade and working ourselves to create holistic success in our own personal lives, we are both truly excited to support you on your journey to create greater happiness, richer relationships, more fulfillment in your life, vibrant health, and greater abundance and success too. Expect some laughs, some tears as two raw, authentic beings come to you on this journey of life alongside you. We'll share what's worked in creating a richer life for ourselves, what we have learned and applied, and also what hasn't worked. Count on us to give you some practical advice, tools, and tips that you can implement straight away with every single episode. So get ready, buckle up, and enjoy this journey, my friend. Oh, and if you feel like being a great giver, share this podcast with someone else that you think this may benefit. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode in Life Success Pod with Matt and Nat. Today, we are going to talk about something really close to my heart and something that we have worked on a lot, and truly something that I believe every person should be deserving to be prospering in, and that is relationships. And so, Matt, I want to bring you on, and I can't wait to pick your brain as well into what has really helped you create successful relationships and help others, men, women, dads, business owners, anyone that can relate, anyone that we can help. So welcome to today's podcast.
I'm excited to be here, Nat.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited that you're here. And I'm really grateful that I get to do this with you because, yes, we have a beautiful relationship. And it's not always rainbows and butterflies either, don't get me wrong. But we're both in it for the growth. And I think that it's rich and healthy and keeps growing because we're both invested in our relationship. So let's talk about relationships, because it's broad, right? There's like relationships with your spouse, there's relationships with workers and your team members, there's relationships with your children, parents. Like, it's really big. So let me ask you, someone listening today may be thinking, gosh, I don't have great relationships, or maybe they can think of specific relationships they want help improving. So let's start going into that territory a little bit now.
I think relationships are very dynamic, and they vary so much from relationship to relationship. And when I think of relationships, even if I think of a family, which is multiple relationships, but we can even just remove the children for a sec. Let's say there's a husband and wife or partners. They come together and they're both being conditioned in a certain way. And what I mean by conditioned in a certain way is they both have their own belief systems that they've been adopted through their childhood and their upbringing up until the point of today where they are. And they both have their habits that they've adopted once again through their childhood and everything they've experienced up to this point today. And so both are coming in with their conditioned way of being, thinking, and seeing the world. And they're different. They may have similarities. They may have things that they're attracted to with each other, but there's going to be clashes in some points where they're going to have to navigate their way through those differences there. And I think your ability to navigate through those differences is going to determine if the relationship will be successful in the long term or not, because that's where the growth is. is where there's a difference. And now you can take that with a relationship with someone that you work with. It could be a relationship with your, you know, someone you're married to. It could be a relationship with a best friend. Like, it could be any kind of relationships. Either way, you're both conditioned differently, have different beliefs. And this is where you can go different cultures. That cultural paradigm comes into it too, where there's a clash in beliefs, clash in what their societies think is normal, what's accepted and what's not accepted. Seeing it on the broader scale as well, culturally, we can just go individually. And like I said, I think our ability to navigate our way through differences and be able to not only agree, because you never want to really settle. You don't want to settle for things. Okay. This is really, really important. But you want to create something that works for everyone involved. And I think that's always possible if there is I think it's possible if there is a high enough or a great enough motivation in that relationship.
That is a huge point. It's about having a vision of a rich relationship to start with, whether that's with a child or a spouse or a team or a family. I know for me, from the get-go, it's been holding on to an image of harmonious, loving, healthy, connected relationships where everyone can be authentically expressed. Mm. And I just love the quote in the Bible, without a vision, the people will perish. That holds true to everything. Every single goal we have or every life, we want to create more life success, but we need to have images of what that looks like. And I always tell clients, you don't just want to have an image of just you with your children, because your children are different. What kind of relationship do you want with? We've got three children, right? With child number one or child number two, for this sake, I'm just saying numbers, but what relationship do you want with them? And are you actively working on it? I think you hit the nail on the head there with the paradigm though, because I remember before we got married, 6 months before I moved into living with you, with your parents, wasn't just with you. I was sleeping in a bedroom, right? In a single bed with you. And you had two brothers in the same room on the other side. And for me, it was like, whoa, like I was thrown into a lot of change in how family worked and the dynamic. And it was super uncomfortable. Like, if I'm honest, it was so uncomfortable. But I grew so much and I also learned so much. And I was like, oh, I love that. And I love how calm the home is. And I love how it's so orderly. And I learned habits. One thing that I really learned, and I think this is only something you can experience if you have put yourself in different relationship situations or families, is how different your family was to mine in so many ways. And there's an unlearning process. So if you both have a goal or a vision of what relationship you want, then both have to unlearn some things. It's not just one person does all the growth and the other one's like, well, you got to meet me. That's not equal at all. So one thing that you mentioned that I became aware of is sometimes in a relationship, if the confidence isn't strong, that one person may settle all the time. And before you know it, they've lost themselves. And not only is there no relationship, they've lost the one with themselves. So it is so essential with a partnership that communication and feeling safe to express feelings and making it a habit to communicate and not making these assumptions in what the other person's thinking or feeling. So communication for me, if I look at where our relationship used to be and even how much better it is now as we keep developing ourselves and changing little habits here and there, it's a constant work in progress. It's like a work of art, really. And with our children, we're so invested in improving our relationship with our children. It really is, for me personally, my greatest investment and achievement is our family. I put all my eggs in that basket almost. But it's because I love love and I love healthy relationships. So I think, let me ask you a question. What would you tell someone who's having a tough time right now with their partner?
I think that's an easy one for me. I think, and it hasn't always been easy to put into practice, but it's a very clear and easy answer. Communication. You touched on it. I think rather than just running off with this story in your own head, in your own mind, right? And creating this story and then just, it just keeps evolving within your own mind. And then you end up making decisions that weren't even for the right reasons. The best thing that you can do if you're having trouble with in a relationship is to actually sit down and communicate with the person, connect and communicate. Actually share with the person how you're feeling, why you're feeling that way. And that is a tough thing to do sometimes. It requires you to be a bit vulnerable. If they're making you feel bad or sad or low or less than or whatever it is, to actually go out and express that, especially if it's a male, if you're the male figure, it can be very challenging to do. But I think it's challenging on both ends.
How are you able to do that? Because you weren't always really open to it.
That's what I said. It hasn't always been easy to put into practice, but I know that especially lately, through putting it into practice consciously, it's made a huge difference. I think it's just a decision that you have to make. If you really want to, like you mentioned, if the person wants to save the relationship, they actually want to make the improvements in the relationship, just be willing to sit down and connect and create that time to speak. Something that's been really good for us in our relationship is actually turning off the TV. Not only turning it off, we've actually removed it from our main living area. And we've only got one TV in the house. We don't have TVs in all the bedrooms and stuff. Like, we were very conscious to create that environment in our home. But we've removed it from our main living area. It's out of sight, out of mind. We haven't actually turned it on for a couple of weeks now since we moved it. And the kids don't even ask about it. So there's so much more connection. And connection is so key in such a disconnected world. When I go to any sort of like function or party or get gathering, people just pull out their phones and they're just on it. And this could be anywhere, you know, to a cafe. If you just observe people, they may be with someone physically, but their mind is in their phone. So they're actually not with the person. And so there's no connection, even though they're being together physically. And so in such a disconnected world where there's phones and media and our busy lives, to sit down at nighttime, like us, for the two of us, when our kids go to sleep, we'll sit down with a tea or a cacao or something, and we'll just put some candles on and we'll just sit there and we'll just talk. Like, that's been so good.
It is so good. I look forward to it. We've got the music on. There's plants inside. We're replacing consciously disconnection with connection.
Yeah.
And it's magical what's happening with us as individuals, but our family, like with our kids, it's just incredible to watch.
Yeah. So if there's a breakdown in communication, like just sitting there, and if there's strain on the relationship, to sit there in front of a television together is not going to fix anything. Even though you're together, it won't fix anything because you're not actually addressing anything, not creating a space to open up and share things with each other. But by creating an environment or just even a time, you could even go to somewhere, a completely different environment. You say, you know what, let's go to the park for half an hour during the day and just spend some time together. You might leave your phone at home, but that's just time where you can talk, or go on a walk. That's the time to talk and communicate openly. I think just creating that space is going to help you to start talking about things that, you know, you can share things that are affecting you, things that you don't like, things that you'd love to improve. And I think if you stay positive with that talk as well. So you may express things that you don't like, but in a way where, you know what, I think we can really work on improving this part of our relationship. The other person is not going to take so much offense to it as it compared to if you're just actually attacking them, saying you hate when they do this or you hate when they do that, because then now the other person's in defense. So I think even learning a positive way to communicate the way you're feeling about a situation can make that communication a lot more easy to digest for the other person.
Absolutely. I think this is shifting. You said so well, it's shifting from being defensive in relationships where why would someone be defensive? Because they feel attacked. Yeah. And so many relationships break down, and God bless the relationships that I grew up with and that I learned from, both from people's mistakes and the good things that I wanted to adopt. But I saw the pattern of broken relationships was built on defense. And in fact, a lot of people sadly stay in relationships that are defensive. And so there's actually never growth there. So the first step is, if that's a situation you find yourself in, if you're listening to this, is shifting that. And to shift from defense, you've got to start to let your guard down. You've got to stop feeling like the world's against you. You got to stop feeling like that person's trying to hurt you. You're a team. And that was a huge thing, to make sure that we're a team. It's not you against me, it's we. And when you make it a we, then all of a sudden it's about how I've been feeling a little bit like this. I know you don't bring the other person into it. You just say, you own it. I've been feeling like this. This is coming up for me. This is coming up with my work, or I feel these emotions coming up, or I feel overwhelmed because of this, without saying the you, like you don't care, you blah, 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 like the you. That's the thing. If we take 100% responsibility for that relationship, whichever one it is, this is powerful, because it could be partner relationship, like your spouse, it could be a child, mother, daughter, father, son, whatever it is. When we take 100% responsibility, all of a sudden the defense goes, because there's no you to attack, because it's only I. And you don't want to attack yourself either. But the point here is, it's 100% responsibility. And that is the, to me, a fundamental rule for any success in a relationship, a healthy one. Not assuming, asking questions, not blaming, taking responsibility.
So what could someone do? Let's say if they do feel like they're being mistreated or undervalued in a relationship, like what could someone do in that situation to address it and improve it?
So have a conversation and voice that feeling. That's number one. But the thing that can happen is, when you're triggered, the thing with relationships is they're mirrors, right? And so they're there for us to grow. So let's not run from them. Understand that if there's that person's triggering you, or something's happened, it's an opportunity for growth. So the minute we're attacking, we've lost the opportunity. So it's about, for me personally now, I don't want to vent when I'm in the trigger, because it's just a reaction that's happening within me. So I would rather learn from that, go for a walk, go to exercise, go in my own place in that moment to learn what actually is coming up for me, rather than going straight to speaking, because I'm going to react. I'm not in a very responsive mode right now. I'm going to go spend some time alone, or journal, or get, so I learn. After that, and I'm more calm, that's when I find, okay, this is coming up for me. Like, what you did there, that wasn't cool. That really hurt my feelings. You know, and I know that in that moment, I even said the you, but when you did this, that I felt like this, and that really does this. And I don't know why you did it. Like, so this is where we remove the assumption from the other person, because we're not the other person. But what we can do is express ourselves. And what we can do is express ourselves in a calm way, not in a triggered, reactive, angry way. That's not going to fix anything. You got to get that, come down from that first. So to me, yeah, that's the step. But you share it. You don't suppress it. Suppressing is not the answer, but communication is. And I know, even growing up, there were times where I couldn't speak to my dad and I was afraid. So I still wanted to communicate. So I would write letters or a text message. But it's still a form of communication. And I do that with you still. Like, sometimes I will write text messages, because speaking, I'm still too volatile, but I feel I need to express something that's hurt me or whatever it is. See, expressing, that's not bad. I think it's the suppression that.
I actually think that's, for me, in receiving that, like a text message or something, it also gives me time to actually think about it and respond. So I'm not reacting as well. I'm actually responding, and I'm able to try and see it from your perspective. That can work. But the thing with text messages, this is the problem with text messages, though. They can be misunderstood.
Huh, because you're reading it with your own perceptive tone.
Yes.
As well. Absolutely. I agree. Totally agree.
I think to just create a space, like I said, to create a space where you can actually just communicate. And I think if someone's mistreating, if you feel like someone's mistreating, because they may not actually have the intention to mistreat you, but you may be, you may feel that way, but that's based on, once again, your paradigm, your social normals, what you think is normal, the way you think things should be. Okay. You know, help them understand. If you can help them understand your perspective, and like you said, it makes me feel this way when you do X, Y, and Z, or when this happens, it gives them an opportunity to see that certain actions create certain effects. And okay, so what can we do moving forward so this doesn't happen again? What can I change? What can I improve? It's so important for both people in the relationship to want to grow, or to be willing to grow. That's and to change and to adapt. Once again, go back to the paradigms. We've got fixed ways of thinking and being in certain situations that have been programmed into us genetically and environmentally. We have to remember that. But if you think about, like you said before, the family that you grew up in was very different to the family I grew up in. So what was normal for you was not normal for me. And what was normal for me was not normal for you. And so we're coming into this relationship with two different normals.
And it's all beautiful. And I think it's a matter of when you come from that, you got two people, it's what do you want to create now?
So can I share an example? And I think this is a great, very simple example. And it's on topic too. Like if I think of my family, when my parents argued when I was a kid growing up, they would just stop talking to each other. There'd be no communication. Like there'd just be silent treatment from both ends, right? Silence in the house.
I laugh because it's so...
It's the polar opposite to what you experienced, right? Like
no silence.
Though. That's right. It was
got louder. Yeah.
That's right. And so the way I dealt with things, you know, up until, you know, I don't know when it was, but when I decided to change and actually open up and communicate when I felt there was something wrong. See, I would just go in inside my little self and just like push it down. It's okay, you know. I just go silent. I do the silent treatment. Okay. But that's that was the normal for me when it came to relationships. And this was happening subconsciously. I didn't consciously do that. It's just the way I dealt with it because that's the way it was in my environment. And you would be the opposite. And so you like be coming at me.
listen to me.
Like wanting to speak about it. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, no, like it's not the way, that's not the way I handle it. It's not the way I deal with it. Right. But like I was saying earlier, to have that space where you can both actually communicate as adults, as people, as two beings together, whatever was happening can get dissolved and solved so quickly. And you can just move on with it, right? Rather than giving each other silent treatment for days.
And that's painful. Like that's actually a form of rejection. Like you, especially if the other person is that, like that gets triggered and that's what would happen before. And it's incredible how relationships can just get better and better. Like they really can get richer and richer. So let's just recap for now. It really is have a vision of what kind of relationship you would love. Do you want an open, honest, passionate, intimate? And intimate's an important word because a lot of people think it's all physical. No, like intimate's really about heart to heart. Intimate's like connection emotionally, spiritually, and yeah, physically. That's like the byproduct really of a true intimate relationship. And you can have this beautiful relationship with one of your children, and then you can have another magical one with another one of your children, but they're completely different and it's so cool and special and unique, but they get richer and stronger. And it really is, one is the vision, two is making time to be together, not physically, that's not being together, but actually emotionally present and talk about the feeling. Talk about how are you? How are you feeling? What's been coming up for you lately? You know, I want to be with you. So that's the next step, is being with, learning to be. I don't think many of us were taught to be with people. You were physically next to them, but to be, well, that's another level of connection. That's the real connection that we're all craving. And you know what I find fascinating? We're all seeking this connection on a phone when deep down all we're needing is to open our hearts to connect. It's not on a screen. It's not going to be found there. And that's why being on Instagram feels shitty and being on social media feels shitty, because our hearts are craving connection that cannot be found in that way of disconnection. Like, that's a method of disconnection in a large capacity. So that's the next one, is that open communication. And I also think that having a healthy relationship with yourself is so important. Like, there's all these beliefs, like you said, and, you know, insecurities that we can have, and you call them wounds, call it whatever word you want to use, but we can get triggered by so many things. And there's no two perfect souls that are like, I'm whole and complete, now I'm ready, you know. But I do know that if a relationship is formed on, like, how can I put this? Like, feeding your insecurities, then that's not a healthy relationship either. You've got to untether that. So, for example, let's say there's someone that's super needy in a relationship. They need to be validated all the time that they're loved and beautiful. And then this other person just wants to give that to someone for their own feeling of worth, and they just need to keep giving it. And, you know, it's like they've got this relationship, but it's not actually a true, authentic self. The egos are in charge there. And this is the beautiful thing. And I'm so grateful that I was already doing the deep work before I met you, because I couldn't attract you in my life without having released a lot of beliefs about myself that were limiting, a lot of ideas of what a toxic relationship was like. And I didn't want that. So I was already creating, visualizing, manifesting. Being with you feels very normal, like natural. You know, our relationship is very natural. It's when you're trying to be someone you're not, that's hard. And keeping that relationship is going to be hard. And when you start being your real self, that old relationship's going to crumble because it was never true. Now, here's the key question. Are you willing to give up what you have to have what you really want? And if you are, then you're going to be willing to go through the crumble.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to be willing to go through the crumble with any relationship. And this extends with business. This extends with any improvement in life, right? You'll be willing to give up that former self that you thought was you that wasn't all you.
That can be tough.
Yeah, it's not pleasant.
I think this can be like a whole different topic, a whole different podcast episode, but a lot of people don't even know who they are because they've been like a chameleon for so long, just being what the people around them are being and adapting to the people around them. And, you know, they actually do not know who they are. So they have this false identity. And we've all got an identity that we've made up in some way anyway. I think if you have to be someone else at the start of a relationship to get into that relationship, that's going to be very tough over the long term.
Yeah. That can be true for even a job where it's not even in harmony with you.
Right? Yeah. Well, I just even think, like, when I first met you, I didn't have any intention of having any kind of long-term relationship with anybody. So I was just like being myself. Like, yeah. I was just having fun. I was just that time of my life. And so I've always just been myself with you. And there's been points when I was like, oh, who the hell am I? Right. But that wasn't because I was trying to be someone else when I met you. I was just trying to learn more about myself and understand myself on a deeper level. So at least allows me to keep changing and evolving, right? Which is something that I love doing anyway. But it's really, really important that we be ourselves and that we can be ourselves, because that's when you're going to feel freedom. Yeah. You're not going to feel locked in. Okay. And I also want to talk about that, the compound effect to relationships, because let's look at it in a positive way for a second. I'm just going to give it a positive example. Let's say if someone or two people connect, like you and I are doing, we mentioned after the kids go to sleep, we'll just put on some music, sit down with a cacao or a tea or something, and we just speak, you know, in the candles, and it's nice and dark, and it's nice. It's very, very nice. Like, the compound of that, even if it's just for 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but you do that daily and over a long period of time, that pays off in huge amounts.
Absolutely.
When it comes to connection.
It's an investment.
That's right. But there's also a compound effect working the other way. If there's no connection and you can go weeks without actually properly speaking with a partner, or, you know, in a friendship, could even be in a friendship. And, you know, I've got one of my best friends, I actually don't speak to him all that often. But when we do speak, it's like we've never spent any time apart. We're just such great friends, right? It's just a different kind of relationship. But I'm sure if we spoke every day, that relationship would be even better. It'd grow further. But obviously, there's only certain amount of things that I can fit into my life. And, you know, we both got different lives, right? So that's just the way that relationship is. But when it comes to, you know, the most important relationship in my life, which is with you and with my children, I want to invest the time there. Okay. Because if I didn't, there would be a disconnection. And so even if you have to start off with just having even just one date night a week, or even if it doesn't even have to be at nighttime, it could be date day or just to go for a coffee with no phones, where it's just the two of you, you know?
Well, we actually started, you got the adventure challenge, right? Yeah. Which is really cool. It's a date book. And then they have all the dates in there and you got to scratch it off. And it's fun. Like, you don't know what you're going to do. And, you know, but with that came some connection cards as well. And like mini dates, 30-minute dates. And one of them was because I was feeling a bit disconnected from you. And so this was like, okay, we're trying, you know, trying to connect again more intentionally. And I even just, we had to serenade each other, like literally sing a song. And it was like embarrassing and it was uncomfortable. And I was like, also a dream come true where I could finally sing like the Spice Girl. It was just one of those moments. But in that vulnerability is where the magic happens. And that's where we're not trying to look pretty and perfect. And it's in the rawness. It's in the giving birth to our children, you know, in those moments where you see the whole process and it's beautiful, but we've got to stay in that beauty and not get caught up in this egocentric world of identity and cover up and harden up and be this perfection or image of success of what we think we need to be. And it's only when we are willing to bring these walls down and open our hearts up and be vulnerable and yes, feel wonky and clumsy and yet still feel loved unconditionally is where that relationship gets stronger. So that evolved, right? Like into now what we're doing, and it's getting even deeper and more beautiful. But it's having that intention. You've got to have that intention that you want to improve that relationship. And you've got to start to change the way you see that other person as well. Because your image of them really dictates your attitude towards them. One of the biggest hacks that I have with our kids, even with you, is to see you the way I want to see you. Not to see you for your faults, but to see you for the blessings and to focus on the good. Focus on what you're doing well and the kindness and the generosity and all the good talents and gifts and traits. Because if we focus on what's missing, what's not there, what's the problem, well, then that's all we're going to see. It's just the law of focus. So
it's an attitude.
It's an attitude. And truly, so we've got a few key things here. Vision, making time to be, having that right attitude, being vulnerable, communicating. I have two questions that I love. I heard recently and they're so good. This is about relationships. So pick one person right now you would love to improve your relationship with. And just ask yourself, what would happen if you gave it 100% in that relationship? What would happen? 6 months, 12 months, like what would happen? What would it change in that relationship if you gave it 100%? And the second question is, what would happen if you didn't? And you see the compound effect right there, where you have a choice in that moment to give that relationship 100%. And the key is not once, it's being consistent.
It is being consistent. That's the key. We've got a husband and wife that we're coaching at the moment, and we have been for a number of months now. And they had their own personal goals, but they wanted to work on the relationship. And we said, look, make that the priority right now, because you get the relationship right, and the other goals will be, you know, you'll have so much more to give in that other area once you get that relationship right. And just something as small as just going on a date night or a date just once a week, or spending that quality time connecting, that's made a huge, huge change in their relationship. But it's been consistency. That's the key. because there is a compound effect and it's working one way or it's working the other way. And it could, you start small because you don't want to overcommit to something that you can't do, keep doing long term. So just start small and you'll see how the relationship will start improving through these little minor improvements that you keep making on a, whether it's a daily basis or a weekly basis. Like, you got to start where you can. Okay. But at least you're working on improvement. And that's the key.
And I'm just going to put it out there for those that think watching a movie or watching TV together is connection time. It's not. It is not. So don't get conned. So go do something else. You know what's another cool thing? Is just write some questions in, put them in a jar. Write 3 questions each and then pull them out and answer them. That will do way more for that relationship than what a movie will.
Absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Well, until next time, this is Life Success Pod with Matt and Nat, and I can't wait to keep sharing more beautiful life-enhancing tips, tools, and tricks to help you live a richer life. All right. Bye for now. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks.
We hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards creating greater success and richness in your life. If you would love to receive extra valuable content, be sure to subscribe at our mailing at mattandnatmindset.com. That's mattandnatmindset.com, and receive life-changing emails as well as stay up to date on our upcoming events, both in person and online. If you found this episode valuable in any way, it would really help us on our mission to help more individuals and families heal, grow, and prosper. Spread the love by sharing this with a friend over on social media or text. We welcome you to leave us a comment or review and let us know what you've learned from us so far. Head over to our social media channel at Matt and Nat Mindset. Thank you for listening and supporting our channel. Have a blessed day and remember to treat others from a place of love. This is where the magic of life is lived. Until next time, this is Nat.